In the name of Jesus, who purchased us by his blood that we might be his sons and daughters, now and forevermore. Amen. I'd like for you to take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to our text. James is a book from which we don't often read in the New Testament. See if you can find James chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. We'll actually look at a couple places in James this evening, beginning with the first several verses. Before that, however, and let me mention too, if you're a visitor with us this evening and don't have a Bible at home, please feel free to take one of these pew Bibles for your family so that you can read and study God's Word throughout the week. The temptation, the trials that we face are many. Our theme for tonight is tested without toppling. Do any of you ever feel tested? Have you undergone trials of different sorts? Do you feel like the devil is always watching and ready to tempt you in one fashion or another? Sometimes so many of us have been tried so hard, it almost feels like our shoulders are stooped over and we're not sure if we can continue with the testing that takes place. We're not sure that we can bear up under the temptations which are always around us. James is very interesting. If you look at the first part of the book in chapter 1, let's look first at verses 2 through 4. He speaks in a way that seems hard for us to believe or understand, but James knows temptation and testing and trial. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Listen to what he says under the inspiration of God. Consider it pure joy. Are you kidding? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. There are a number of places in the New Testament, not only here where James speaks it, but where Paul also says, when we undergo trials and tests and difficulties, we ought to be joyful. That makes me wonder a little bit how much James and the others, too, were tested or tried the way I am. But we know, too, by their faith, they were tempted and tried in many ways. And as they made it through those difficulties, it was a joy. You know, when you work a muscle or a group of muscles, when those muscles are strained, when it feels like they can't continue any further, and then those muscles build back again, that's what causes those muscles to be stronger. I think it's a similar way in our faith. As trials of many sorts come against us, God gives us the strength. God watches over us. God carries us safely through, and as we've made it safely through those, then we are stronger and better ready and able to handle those trials and tests and difficulties which come. In the first part of James, James tells us that we ought not be like infants in arms. Again, in the New Testament, we're not to be just like babes who drink spiritual milk, but he wants us to be strong. And in our text tonight, he calls us to be mature. Look at the man here. He does look weathered and beaten, doesn't he? Not beaten down, but a man who's been through much of life. You can see the lines in his face. But also, as he's looking at Scripture, as he's reading Scripture, in it he sees the light of God. And in it, he sees that God watches over and carries him through. God blesses, God encourages through all the trials of life. Many, James says, though they be, you can have joy. Because God will carry you through. God will strengthen you. God will give you the faith and help and hope to make it through those difficulties so that you will be stronger as a boy or girl, a man or woman, a grandpa or grandma, as you serve the Lord and Savior Jesus. Well, what kind of trials come? As I was preparing in my office and praying about tonight's message, I thought there are psychological trials that come. There are difficulties and problems that come our way, and they cause us worry and fear and consternation. You can fill in the blanks. What is it psychologically that's a trial or a trouble for you? We're tested. We're tried in many ways. Beyond the psychological trials we face, some of us face financial trials. It's not that long before tax season comes up, and that's certainly a trial for many of us. But in the meantime, what about savings? What about the way we live our lives? What about our financial wherewithal? Some of us are tried by that, and tried severely. Others of us are tried in relational ways. We know, Pastor and I do, as we hear you coming to us, each of us, both of us, that there are relational concerns. Maybe it's in families, between and among siblings. Maybe it's between a husband and wife, or parents and children, from one generation to the next. There are stresses and difficulties and trials. How do we make it through those? And I think, too, these days in the news about the theological trials some face. We certainly face them to some extent, but nothing like some of our brother and sister Christians do all over the world. You know, again, how evil men and women have killed Christians just because they are Christians. Our brother and sister Christians all over the world suffer in ways that we don't, at least not yet, by evil hands and by the devil who uses those evil hands to attempt to crush Christians and their faith. So, what trials do you face? What trials have you brought with you tonight to church that burden you, that make your shoulders feel stooped? James, under the inspiration of God, says to you and me, count it as all joy as those trials come, because God will carry you through. God will strengthen you. He will give you faith and courage. And as you've made it through those trials, then you will be stronger because of them. I think that the trials come in several ways. And James mentions two of those ways in our text. He talks about us being tested. God tests, and it's the devil who tempts. God reminds us in his precious word that when we're tested in our faith and make it through that test, then we receive the crown of life that he promises to give. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, remember what Jesus says? If you remain faithful unto death, if you make it through those trials and remain faithful in me, filled with faith, then I will give you the crown of eternal life. God's promise, God's encouragement, his help for us as we run the race to continue to be strong, knowing that ultimately we will be with him, where there is no more difficulty, where there are no more tears, where there will be no more trials, because he perfectly watches over and cares for us. God tests us so that our faith will increase and will be strengthened. We see an example of that in tonight's Old Testament reading. Pastor read for us from Genesis chapter 22 of the testing of Abraham. Now remember, Abraham was a man mature in his faith. He was a mature citizen. He had waited almost 100 years for his son Isaac to be born. He had heard God's promise. He believed it, but it certainly was a trial for him as he waited and waited and waited. And now this boy was born, And now he had grown some years older, old enough to go with his dad on this trip. And God told Abraham, sacrifice your son. God, sacrifice my son? My only son, the one for whom I've been waiting all these years, the one you promised to send? Sacrifice your son. So they went out into the wilderness. And do you catch the flavor? Do you hear the foreshadowing of Jesus himself in the sacrifice? Isaac took upon himself the wood of the sacrifice, like Jesus took on the wood of the cross. He went out into the wilderness. He was placed upon that sacrificial pyre, and the hand of Abraham was ready to come down with a knife before the angel of the Lord then finally said, Abraham, Abraham, stop! I see that you are faithful, filled with faith. I have put you to the test. Not so that God could figure out what Abraham would do. God knew full well in his omniscience what Abraham would do, but so that Abraham could be strengthened in his faith. Abraham didn't know what he would do. Abraham didn't know what he was capable of. But by God's help and strength, by the faith God gave Abraham, he was ready to do this even most difficult, unthinkable thing, because God gave him strength and courage and faith. And as he was tested, and through this testing, through this trial, he was even stronger in his faith. Now, James tells us there's a difference between God testing and the devil tempting. That's the gospel reading for this evening, the reading from Mark. We're reminded that as soon as Jesus was baptized, he was taken by this Holy Spirit out into the wilderness for 40 days. He was tempted by the devil. Mark doesn't tell us, but we know it from the other gospels, that he was tempted to take his own well-being into his own hands. He was tempted not to trust God. He was tempted to put God to the test. And in all of these things, in each of these tests, in each of these temptations, Jesus remained strong and Jesus remained faithful. He did what it was that God the Father, his Father, called him to do, and he remained strong in his faith and in his belief. God calls us to be strong too, to recognize that while God tests, it's the devil who tempts. Spencer, would you give me a hand for a minute this evening? Spencer didn't know I was going to call on him. Come on up. And I think I've used this as an illustration before. Come right up, Spencer. Turn this way. Face folks. Actually, turn this way just a little bit. And I don't know if we've used this or if you remember this illustration, but the American Sign Language sign for temptation is this. It's this. Here's how we would do it if it's a signer. The sign language sign for temptation is like this. And Spencer, it's like the devil who comes up behind you and says, come on, Spence, nobody's going to know. Come on, Spencer, do it the way I want you to do it. Okay, you can sit down. Thank you very much. Have you felt the devil at times tickling your fancy? Trying to get you to go his way, to do his thing, instead of the thing that God wants you to do? That's a trial. That's the kind of trial that James is speaking about in our lesson for tonight. Don't be tickled by the devil. Don't be encouraged by him to fall away from God, but to remain strong in the faith that God gives us. Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin, so that he could be our perfect substitute, so that he could be our Savior, so that when we're tempted and fall into temptation and sin, we could be forgiven in Christ Jesus. James goes on in our text to help us know this idea of sin and how it comes to be in our lives. I thought of it this way. James talks about, first of all, it's starting with desire. Imagine, if you will, a seed like this, just beginning to sprout. And that's the way sin starts. It starts with a desire in our thoughts and in our minds. And then as that desire grows, he says it becomes and it blossoms into sin. It's when we actually say or do something that comes from that desire, or we don't say or do something that we ought to, because again of the desire, the wicked desire within us. And as that desire, as sin grows, he reminds us that it comes full-blown and it becomes death. When we desire something that God doesn't want for us, and when we sin, if we continue in that sin can cause the death of our faith. And when it causes the death of our faith, then it causes our eternal damnation and our eternal death. Instead, God reminds us that every desire, every good and godly desire, that's what James says, comes from God. Every gift which is from above is from God. The devil may try to tempt you into something that you think is a good thing, but in fact is not from God. God gives us every good and perfect gift. And the greatest gift he gives is the gift of salvation. The greatest gift that he gives is the gift of Jesus. As the children received the waters of baptism this evening, and the blessing of God, the forgiveness of God, they're empowered and strengthened, we say, to live a godly life. That's the same desire that we have. When we face many trials, and we always do, God will help us to be strong. The greatest gift he gives is the gift of eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus. And finally, in our text for tonight, James talks about this first fruit. We hear that also elsewhere in the New Testament, Jesus being the first fruit. He's the one who comes first into death and life again so that others may follow after. I don't know how many of you raise gardens, but that's the idea of first fruits. Does this look like a familiar picture to some of you that raise gardens? Something, some fruit or vegetable, comes ripe before all the rest. And it's almost like, now what do I do with this one? Because all the rest are not yet ready. But what first fruits are, and why they're so beautiful, is that there is a promise that more are to follow. When the first one becomes ripe, when the first one is ready, when the first one can be enjoyed, then it's a promise that many others will follow after. Jesus is the first fruit of our faith. And in our text, James calls us to be the first fruit of many others who follow. Though we go through trials, sometimes tested by God, sometimes tempted by the devil, God carries us safely through, so that even when we are tested, we will not topple. He calls us as his brothers and sisters, as his sons and daughters, through faith and trust in him. God bless you tonight and in all the days to come. As you feel trials, as you go through them, look for the ones that are the testing of God. May God help you to be stronger through them, and may God help you to resist the temptation of the devil so that you can enjoy the gift that God promises, the gift of eternal life. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus, our perfect Savior. Amen.